What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Now, the Bible says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says." Then the next verse says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Yesterday I was sharing this scripture during the all night, if you are awake. I was sharing this scripture and I will still be talking along these lines. Now, we don't pray because we have to pray. Are you with me? We don't pray just as a ritual. But the truth is that a believer cannot get much out of his relationship with God if he does not have a strong prayer life. Are you with me? But you must be able to tell what prayer is. You must be able to tell how to pray. I shared with you that if you look into the life of Jesus and his disciples, of the many things they learned from him, one thing they deliberately asked Jesus to teach them was to teach them how to pray. You know why? There was a direct connection between the results they saw in his life and the way and manner in which he prayed. And I was sharing with you during the all night. In Nigeria, we call it night vigil. But that's tautology. There's no afternoon vigil. If you stay up through the night, it's already a vigil. Maybe you hear that on your way home. So, I was sharing with you. Why you ask people why they pray, and they say everybody prays. Every religion prays. But that's not how we pray. Before Jesus came, people were praying. Are you with me? But why was it very important in Luke 11 for the disciples to say to Jesus, "Teach us how to pray"? It's because they wanted to be more effective. You know, I was sharing in the course of the prayer that every one of us should be like Jesus' disciples. You know, I like Jesus' disciples. They were ordinary, everyday, regular people. Fishermen. They had a fisherman there, at least two or three of them. They had a tax collector. They had a philosopher. It will even shock you. They had a social activist in Simeon. He was part of a group who were scheming how to overthrow the Jews. So he was more like a politician. Everybody was there. They were strict, everyday, regular people. Now, if you see this, I don't want you to see Jesus' disciples like some people that were carved in a mold and dropped from heaven. If they were here, they would probably be in your circle. They would be interfacing with you. There was nothing. They had regular lives. And they saw Jesus and they were asking. They started following this man. They started seeing results. Are you with me? But you know what got to me? Is that there's no time Jesus will ask them to do something or will teach them something that they will go to do it. Are you listening to me? Encounter a problem and just take it lying down. If it doesn't work, they will meet Jesus and ask, "Why didn't it work?" If Jesus says, "Go and heal the sick," and they go out and they lay hands on people and the people don't get healed, they don't explain it away. They don't say, "Well, the theological text behind that is that when you go out sometimes, if you haven't well prepared yourself and not internalized certain truths, It might not work. So these are the mysterious works of God. You can never, ever tell. Nothing like that. They will come and say, Master, why couldn't we cast that devil out? They were not making excuses. Because in their minds, are you with me? It should work. It works. If you buy a brand new television, a smart television, 60-something inches, you plug it, it doesn't work, or it doesn't do all the things they tell you a smart television will do, will you say it doesn't work? Be honest. Will you dash it out? Hello? You're not going to dash it out, right? You are going to ask, why? It's not, because it has to work, especially if it's not a gift. If you paid for it, it has to work. Yes, it has to work. It's been given to you. That's what I want you to see in the lives of the disciples. They were not passive. This thing has to work. This is what led to this conversation. Jesus had passed the day before, and the Bible says he went to a fig tree. They were passing through Bethany. Even Jesus, I'm talking of Jesus, your master, your Lord and Savior. The Bible says he came to the fig tree expecting to eat something from it, and his expectation was dashed. There was no fig tree. There was no fig on the tree. Have you had those moments? You confidently went to your account. Has that happened to you? Things not turning out like you planned for it to turn out. And they looked at Jesus, and he didn't just take it lying down and say, well, sometimes you have figs, other times you don't have figs. Hello? God's time is the best. No, that's not what he did. Hallelujah. In fact, scripture even says that it was not the time of figs. So there's a legit, what? Scientific reason for it. But what Jesus didn't like was, if it was not the season for figs, why was it appearing like the season? Don't deceive me. You get it now. Then Jesus just, look at how he did it. From today henceforth, no man eat of you again. And left. I'm sure in the minds of the disciples, what is he up to again? What is wrong? You want mango, it's not the mango season. Wait for mango season. You know, it can be logically explained. But to their surprise, they came the following day. Following day. That means nothing happened, as it were. But coming the following day, it was truly dried up. So they went to him and said, Master, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. I like the disciples. They didn't say, well, anything Jesus does, that's how it shall be. They said, you spoke to this fig tree and it happened. Now, they were not making a statement. They were inquiring. That's why he was answering them. Okay, let me put it this way. I come to Pastor Tom's house. I know he has a dog. Is he still alive? Oh, he didn't make it. Amen. All right. Pastor Tom has a dog. So, imagine I come to Pastor Tom's house and I see his dog. All right, for the record, I don't like cats. You have a cat? Thank God. Amen. Okay, let's say Pastor Tom has a cat. I come to Pastor Tom's house, and then I just say, this cat, the next time I'm here, you will not be here. Two of us cannot be in the same house. So, and truly, I call Pastor Tom 2 weeks later, I'll be in your house tomorrow. I come to the house, and the night before I came, No, no, not the night. As I was entering the house, the cat took a nap and died. So Pastor Tom now looks at me and says, Pastor, you are here, the cat is dead. So, that, you know, that statement means, what happened? You get it? This is the way the disciples ask. You spoke to the fig tree yesterday, and the fig tree is dead. How did it happen? You know, I like this. If you know how things work, you can replicate them. The thing about believers is not that they don't have faith. A lot of times I see believers saying, Lord, give us what? Give us faith. Lord, help me. And you know, faith is a very important subject. Why? Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Four times in scripture it said, Hebrews 10 it is said, Romans 1, are you getting me? 16 to 17 it is said, Habakkuk 2 it is said, because if God has justified you, there is a modus operandi for living. It's faith. And something you live by. If you live by drugs, you will treasure them. You know, people who live by drugs, they don't forget their drugs. In the same way, if the Bible says you will live by faith, then you shouldn't play with your faith. And it's something that very few Christians take time to study. I know when you don't study faith, you explain away situations. Hallelujah. You take time to study faith. Faith is important. This is how God said I should live. And if this is how he has said I should live, then I need to understand what this subject called faith is. And stop labeling some people as faith folks. And calling some people say those people are word of faith people. Every believer is a word of faith person. Every believer is called to live by faith. Because as long as you've been justified by the sacrifice of Jesus, the way you are called to live is by faith. No other way. And Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He didn't say you go to hell. He didn't say without faith, you won't go to heaven. No. He's saying without faith, you can't please God. That means there's something about unbelief that frustrates God. So you need to understand this. So Jesus now makes a very powerful statement in verse 22 of Mark 11. What did he say? He says in verse 22, have faith in God. I love this. Have faith in God. Somebody say, let me speak pidgin. Those of you watching from wherever, I will speak pidgin, then I'll explain it. See, I carry tokam. See the ease with which. Imagine this serious, complex thing going through their mind. You spoke yesterday, the tree died today. The simple answer is have faith in God. And in the original translation, It doesn't even talk about placing your faith in God. Let me shock you. It literally means have the faith of God. Do you have Passion Translation? Oh. That translation is very scarce, even in Abuja. No. Okay, if you have it on your phone, just give it to me. Now, it's free. You can download it for free. But it's a translation worth having. Get it. I've been reading that translation for close to 2 years, and it's one of the closest to Greek translation, to the original translation. Thank you, Sudha. Now, Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. So it's not as much as put your faith in God. It's as much as the faith of God. That means he's a faith God. The faith that God has, let it be in you. What Jesus was saying is, if you have the faith of God, you will replicate the acts of God. Because this is how, what Jesus was just saying is that this is how God acts. This, I'm just demonstrating kingdom. I'm just demonstrating divinity. If you have the faith of God, this will work. Then he now tells them how the faith of God works. That's what he says in verse 23. That if a man has the faith of God, just follow this morning. If a man has the faith of God, that man will say to a mountain, "Oh, be removed and be cast into the sea." And if that man does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, you know what he says? He says he will have whatever. What a blank check. He will have whatever he says. You know, I like this statement in Mark 11, 23. There are no if and buts. There are no uncertainties. When Jesus was speaking, did you hear him say, "Well, he will try, shall. If you speak to the mountain, he will try. He will try. We'll see what will come out of it." Oh, faith is predictable. Jesus never spoke of faith as something that fails. Do I still have you in church? I was talking to them in church, I think it's in Boko. I said, the word of God is mission specific. Isaiah 55, "So shall be my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, empty, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which I sent it and prosper in the thing thereunto." What he was saying is this: my word has a mission. It has a specific task. When it goes forth, it doesn't come back without accomplishing that task. That is why if God has said something, a man might reject it. It will keep hanging until somebody takes hold of that word. And God's word will never go back and say, "I met something that passed me." Glory to God. See, God's word can't go back and say, "Lord, when I went there, what I saw, my eyes have never seen." What? Oh. "I went to change that guy's life, but when I went there, Lord, Lord, what I saw, that level of suffering, it has never, is beyond me." You need to say the word failed is that God failed. His word cannot be separated from his person. So I went there, but when I saw that cancer, that particular one, I tried to understand it. I hit the cancer from this side. The thing shifted this way. I hit it from this side. The thing went up. I hit it from there. God, I'm back. Is the person healed? Ah. Oh, Father, your word. I am your word, but I've done my best. No. So can I establish something? If the word of God is mission specific, the word of God cannot fail. It means what we need is a working knowledge of how to cooperate with the word to allow him to do his work. And that's what Jesus was saying. It's a principle. It's a truth. It's a principle. If you are the president of Nigeria and you jump from a 10-story building, you must land. It's a principle. If you are a pauper, if you jump, you will land. You won't say, "I am this Senate committee chairman on gravitational issues." If you jump, you will fall. So, 2 Peter chapter 1. So, if you have the faith of God, how many of you want the faith of God? Oh, lovely. He said, if you have the faith of God, if you have the faith of God. Why am I teaching this? It's understanding this principle that makes prayer profitable. Based on this, verse 24 now says, based on verse 23, 24 says, "What thing soever you desire when you pray." So we go into prayer with a result-oriented mindset. Aye. We don't pray. You know, some people pray and say, "Let's pray and see. As we are trying this one, we try this one. Let's try prayer. No. Prayer is certain. I know you got that. Yeah, I know you got that. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1. Because a lot of you are saying, I wish I had that kind of faith. I just wish. Lord, I wish. Stop wishing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a born servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, have you been declared righteous through Christ? How are we declared righteous? By believing what Jesus did for us. God made him to be sin who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous. And the Bible says those of us who are righteous, like Peter was righteous, have obtained what? Like precious faith. What faith is he talking about? The faith of God that Jesus told them. That means that Mark 11:22, when Jesus said to his disciples, have the faith of God in you, is no longer said to us in the tenses that was used. If Jesus is here right now, he will say to the believer, you have the faith of God. So every child of God that is born again has the faith of God. Listen to me. Because if without faith you cannot be born again. Have you ever seen Jesus? Do you believe him? See the way we're worshiping him? You think we're acting drama? At least you can't act that kind of drama for 30 something years. It's because he's real. That's what Peter was saying. Whom having not seen, yet we do what? We believe and we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, as of the only begotten of God. That means we see it and it's alive. So let me say this. The faith of God comes pre-installed with the new nature of God when we receive Jesus Christ. I think almost every phone comes pre-installed now. Almost every Android phone comes pre-installed with Google, with YouTube. You don't have to go and start downloading them. That's what I think. I might be wrong. Except you buy the other one. Amen. But if you buy what I mean, it comes pre-installed. And there are more apps coming. Ignorance is not good. Okay, those of you who follow me once in a while on social media, I work out sometimes. I work out Mondays and other days. So one time I wanted to get a health regimen, a routine. And I wanted to buy one on the Play Store. But they just kept bouncing my card. The Holy Spirit. That's how he saved me money. I just wanted to buy it so that, you know, my wife and I, we walk out together. I just wanted to buy this thing, we could walk out. One day after prayer, you know, we just finished praying. I held this, my phone. I've had it for over 2 years plus. I was just playing around. I saw this app, Samsung Health. So I went there. What I was trying to buy, there were over 30-something of them for free. I said, Holy Spirit, you are too much. May you block more ways like that. That will stop me from spending money. He was there. To pick. If you just deliver the baby, there's a plan for you. If you have big stomach, like I used to have, amen, there's a program for you. If you have big head, you want to eat, everything is there for you. Am I talking to someone? A church member walked up to me recently and said, Pastor, do you like yourself like this? I said, I saw myself like this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was there, but I was going to pay for it. And I had it for 2 years. Hello? When you are looking for faith, it's because you don't know the things that came with the new nature when you got saved. When you got born again, faith was pre-installed in you. It's your default setting. Did you hear me? So don't ever allow anybody say to you again, it's because of your lack of faith. No, you have faith. Now, how many of you want to produce the results of God? So listen now. It's not about having faith or not having faith. It's about how faith that you have, how it works. 2 Thessalonians. What I'm teaching is very, there are simple things. Pastor Tom will come and teach you the harder stuff later. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. See, the word of God is so simple. Don't allow anybody to confuse you. Paul said, we are bound to thank God always for you. Whoa. Brethren, as it is fitting. Imagine thinking about a church and Paul said, I must thank God for you. I must thank God for you guys. You say, why? Because your faith does what? Grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abound toward each other. And I'm happy. When I came here, I saw that here in CFC Makurdi. Your faith grows exceedingly. Amen. And your love is abounding more and more to each other. Yeah, that's a good place to clap. Amen. I'm saying the truth. You guys, I don't. Someone say, Pastor, if you stay here, you know that there's a serious problem. No. That mindset is the serious problem. You know that mindset? That is the serious problem. It's not the people. It's the mindset that is the serious problem. You know, some people are too complicated. I was telling Pastor Tema yesterday, some Christians are not happy. No. Because we're going to church. And I saw this guy drinking. They were drinking beer. They were happy. They were drinking beer and they were happy. And it was quite early. It's like they were the ones that opened the show. Because, of course, after the all night, we went to sleep. We couldn't really sleep. So we had to go back to church, do something. That early, they were just sitting there and they were already happy. And you know, Tamar, being an evangelist, shook his head. You know, man of God. I seem to say, look at how they are wasting their life. I say, at least you should find something that makes you happy. If it's beer, sorry, I'm not saying go and drink beer, but you should be happy. You once they might be happy. At least they found their own. They found their own. You should be happy. Every time they see you, you're in the spirit. You're not in any spirit. We know these things. You are just troubled. You are tired. In the morning, you are tired. In the afternoon, you are tired. In the evening, you are weary. When? See, if you can't find joy in the Holy Ghost, go and find somewhere to find it. Are you with me? But you need joy. You need joy. Oh, glory to God. Are you with me? You have to just be happy. And men will be men. So if it's about people offending you, I'm telling you the truth. Oh my. Just learn to see men as men and be happy. So can I digress a bit? One day I was looking for something. My headphone. I didn't see it. I was not happy. After searching everywhere, I couldn't find it. I said, and why I wasn't, what made me sad was because a brother gave me that headphone. He gave me the one with the Bluetooth device. I was in Kaduna rushing to catch my train. It fell. They stole it. In fact, it dropped. And I knew the worth of it. It was very expensive. So he learned about it and sent me another one. It is about 8 times the regular price of normal earphones. So he sent me this particular one. So I couldn't find it. I said, why am I like this? Can't they give me something for once and I will keep it and it will stay? I was so sad. Throughout the day, my mind will go to it, I'll be sad. The Spirit of God now asks me a question. Are earphones eternal? I said, no. They are not eternal. He said, so why are you so sad? Eventually, it will not stay with you for life. He said, if you don't give it away, somebody will steal it. If it's not stolen, it will outlive its useful time. So stop being sad about things that are not eternal. I said, okay, it's true. I don't even care what is there. I left it. The following day, I was in the room. I brought out one shirt. The earphones just dropped. So, rest. All this. You are not the first person to owe house rent. Are you me? It's not a reason. It's not a reason. Are you me? It's not a reason not to be happy. You are not the first. I am free to dance. You are not free to dance. You can't. You are not free to run. You can't praise him. You can't jump. Because of house rent. You are not the first. Let me even surprise my agent even called me yesterday. I said, we'll see during the week. So he said, you are not the first person to be called. They call us. So if you can just hear God, see, you've taken 5 minutes of my time now. I'm talking to you. So you just be fine, but be happy. Pray in tongues, go to believers, go to Pastor Tom's house, let him make you happy, laugh. Are you getting me? If that doesn't help you, watch a match, amen. Perhaps your team will win that day. You find something happy. If your team doesn't help you, go and listen to a commentary. Are you with me? But you must find something, find somewhere to go to. But this is what I want you to see. He says, but your faith grows exceedingly. That means this faith can grow. It is not talking about the size of faith. It's talking about the effect of what your faith does. I read 2 more scriptures and then I round up. So it's not size of faith. No. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Luke 17, verse 5. You know what Jesus said? In Luke 17, he said to his disciples that it is not possible for offense not to come. Oh, okay. Go back to verse 1. Because some people are looking at me as, are you cursing us? I'm not cursing you. Verse 1, the apostle, he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. So listen, those of you who want to go to a church where you will never be offended, it is not possible. In marriage where you will not be offended, it is not possible. Except you have a clown. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. Should I go and have your own baby so that both of you have your utopic life? It is not. Jesus says it's not possible. Don't waste your time. Some spouses even had a misunderstanding before they came here this morning. Am I lying? No, I didn't say put your hand up. I'm just saying it happens. It happens. But when you come to church, you're in the presence of God. Now, so you say, but whoa, that's the part I don't want you to be. But it shouldn't be through you. Don't be the conveyor of offense. Before you leave this service and go and tell your spouse, tell your husband. Even pastor said this morning that it's not possible. How can I be living with you and not offend you? That's not what the scripture is saying. That's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying that, please, don't go and say, I know how people hear upside down. They hear in convex form. What do you mean? Yeah. They have convex understanding. You know, if a man is standing like they see the man this way, if, how will I live with you and not offend you? I didn't say that. So what to him through whom offense do come? But in verse 2, he says, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, and he was thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones, referring to his disciples. That's why you should not offend the child of God. That's not the message. He said, but take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Then he now says, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Imagine. What a tall order. It's at this point the disciples say, then you have to increase our faith. You follow now. That's what led to the statement, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus' teachings are interesting. He says, if somebody offends you, if he repents, forgive him. He says, if you, you know that part where he says, if he offends you 70 times in a day. Of course, it means 70 times 7, 490 times. But it's a metaphor in the Jewish tongue to mean, if someone has offended you perfectly. I was telling them in Boko, perfect offense. You know some offense? Don't have all the sisters in the house. And let me, all the single ladies, let me talk to you about perfect offense. Let's say you went to visit your friends and you guys are just talking. And while you're talking, you know, this sister is just sharing her experience. Do you know what tea did to me? After I've invested 2 years of my life into this relationship, he's telling me that he's considering going into ministry and he doesn't think I'm the perfect person to fit into that, and that he's praying that God is talking to him. Which God is talking to him? That's my problem with brothers. Then while you are sitting there and explaining your situation, another sister says, so that's your own problem. He told you. You know how many years I went out with Jones? 12 solid years of my life. I didn't know anything when he started toasting me. I was just a little girl. 19. I will never be naive in my life again. That's how I waited for him to go to school. He did everything, went to school, came back. You know what he did to me? Is his thank you SMS for coming to my wedding that mistakenly entered my phone. He didn't even do me the honor of telling me that he's breaking up with me. He left me, went to worry, and married. Be careful with worry girls. Sorry, I don't have worry girls. Then you know he has been, God will punish Jones down to his fourth generation, fifth. You know, imagine you date someone for 12 years, and after 12 years, you didn't hear from him for over 6 months. The next time you see an SMS, thank you for attending our wedding. God bless you for coming. You know why? He forgot to remove your name when he was editing the SMS bulk list. You follow me? You know that kind of perfect offense? That's what Jesus was saying there. Even some pastors are saying that is hard. That's what Jesus was saying. When you have been perfectly offended and the person still comes back to you and he says to you, I'm sorry, Jesus said, you shall forgive that person. Now, who wouldn't ask God to increase their faith? Hello? So you understand why the disciples, so we're not talking about someone took your change, you didn't return your change, you had a problem with bike boy. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about offense, perfect offense, when your limit has been stretched. And you know why they were asking for faith? It's because they know that this level of forgiveness is only divine. It cannot come from a man's strength. It cannot come from man's ability. And listen, it's not just in the area of forgiveness, in your health, in your finances, in your marriage. There is nothing God wants you to do that you can do in your own strength. That's why they were saying, increase our faith. All they were literally saying, add to our faith. Join your faith to our faith. But can I speak to someone? Jesus is never going to increase your faith. Rather, he will teach you to have faith in your own faith. Because the same faith of God in your heart can do anything, can transform anything. You don't need to miss Jesus. Am I talking to someone? He has put the faith of God in you. And a lot of Christians always believe that there are results in multitudes. You must come out of that mindset. They just shall live by his faith. Your faith is more than enough. Because it's the faith of God. Did you get it? I mean, you see some people say, let's join faith. Let's join faith. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, that's not the... At some point, you will need to stand. Your faith, you need to stand. Because at a point in time in your Christian walk, to move to the next level, you must be isolated. Look at Abraham. I called him alone. Did you follow? You know, some people seek comfort in masses. You know, some people are like that. Students do that a lot. You come to class. You could just wrote a test last week. You are given the script. What did you get? 3/10. Yeah. You, 2.5. You, 4. You, me. You know, they will make it a trend. I got 2. You too, 2. Peter, I got 8. You come home. How was the test? That test. Everybody failed. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody failed. Everybody failed. But surprisingly, it's only Peter. Only Peter that had 7, but the rest. Even Atom got 2.5. Everybody failed. You see, it gives you comfort. It gives you comfort. You must isolate. It's not everybody that failed. It's you that failed. And so that's why people enjoy. That's why pensioners always have association. Have you seen them? The moment they retire from work, life has ended. They say, have they paid you your gratuity? If not, you too. That's how life is with everybody. It's not everybody. That's why faith. Why faith? Am I talking to someone? You come to a place where God wants you to believe that this faith he has pre-installed in you can turn around any situation. So in verse 5, as I close, 2 more minutes. Well, this is the introduction of my message. Maybe I'll be here again next Sunday. I said maybe. I don't want. Your faith. All right, me too, I have faith. Now, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And that's where we are always. Lord, increase our faith. What did Jesus say? So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree. A mulberry tree is about 35 feet tall. He says, be pulled up by the roots. Be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea. And that mulberry tree would obey you. He didn't say us, you. Did you get it? Thank you, Sammy. God bless you. So you know what Jesus was saying in essence? The way faith increases is by usage. So if you don't learn to use your faith, it will never grow. It's not about adding to it. It might be as tiny as a mustard seed, but it can move mulberry trees. And let me shock you. You don't even have mustard seed faith. Jesus was saying if you have small as a mustard seed, to move a mulberry tree. So what will not move when you have the faith of God? If you use it. If you use it, why won't it move? Why won't it move? Revelations 2. This is where I close. I need you to see this. To the angel of a, no, verse 7, Revelation 2, 7. He who has an ear, do you have one? It's talking about your spiritual ears. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, for sake of time, let me end here. Why does the Bible say to he who overcomes? And he's writing to Christians. You know why? Whatever God tells you to do is because of the person you are. You will never instruct a fish to fly. If he instructs a fish to swim, it's because pre-installed in that fish is the ability to what? To swim. God will not tell you to overcome if he has not made you an overcomer. So 1 John 5:4. See 1 John 5:4 now. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God, like Arome, does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Let me just end on this note. Your faith has the ability to overcome anything. That is why God is not going to shift away that problem. He's going to say, stand and do what? Overcome it. And how are you going to overcome it? You're going to overcome it by taking his word, trusting it, and standing. If God overcame, you can overcome. Because what he used to overcome is what he has pre-installed in you to overcome. How many overcomers do we have here this morning? Can we stand up? I want to pray for you. Lift your hands up to heaven.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.